guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast, or well, the Challenge Weekly Show. And today I'm joined with Coach Nick.
Hi, Coach Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Were you asleep at the wheel there, Nick?
No, I was so excited. So excited already.
Well, look, Nick, we are in week one. The challenge has officially begun. And yes, you know, you're just a few weeks into the role here. How has your first couple of weeks been?
Oh, I've enjoyed it. I've loved to have a chat with everybody on the forums and on the Facebook, and just see. I love to see everyone's different approaches to it, and I get really inspired by everybody, especially when people put up vision boards and all their foods. I think, well, I better get on with it. So everyone's inspiring me. It's a really good environment to be around. And naturally, I mean, people are going to have questions if it's your first time. Even if it's your millionth time, there's still ways that you think, how can I do this better? So that's sort of where we're all at collectively. And I mean, this is like my dream job. So let's, you know, enjoy that. It's great. You know, helping people in this sort of community where you can reach that many people is so good. So I'm having a ball so far.
Beautiful. Yeah, you know, the challenge is a very supportive community, and, you know, we're all in this together, right? We're all a team, let that be from, you know, the hierarchy in the challenge doesn't exist, right? There's no, you know, coach and challenger. There's no mentor and challenger. You know, it's a very flat hierarchy. We're all in this together. We're all a team.
Absolutely. And you know, coaches, we everybody has their days where you have to look to others for motivation as well. That's how, you know, if I'm struggling a bit, I'll listen to a podcast or something. So none of us are these great beings that never need to be motivated or never need anybody else. We all rely on each other. So that's awesome.
Totally agree. And, you know, I see posts of people going and training at, you know, 4 a.m. Or super late in the evening. I'm like, wow, geez, I don't wake up that early to exercise. You know, I find that so inspiring. Yeah. And that's, you know, me, one of the coaches of the challenge. So, you know, everybody involved in the challenge, you know, you inspire everybody, let that be from the coaches, the other ambassadors, the mentors, previous challenges, people doing the challenge, people not doing the challenge, everyone in between. So keep
going. Absolutely. Yeah. And also when I've been doing I've only done one live Zoom workout so far, but seeing people get up and using whatever they've got in their house, with kids crawling around, it was amazing, you know, that kind of thing. Shout out to Tiana. She had her children with her, that basically even the baby was doing push-ups in the end. So that just makes me so happy.
So good. You know, well, tell me a bit more. You know, how was the live workout Wednesdays? You know, how many people joined us? And if someone was listening and they wanted to get involved, like, how do they join you on Wednesday?
Yeah, so I will put up the link today again for the Zoom. So it's via Zoom. You can just click on the link. And the reason that I like using the Zoom platform at the moment is because I can see everybody as well as doing the workout. So I can sort of correct some form, make sure that everybody's, you know, if there's any injuries or anything like that, we can modify it. That's why I love having it like that. It might not be, for some people, it might be a bit confronting. So you don't even have to have your camera on, but I personally love to be able to give that live time feedback. So, yeah, that went really well. We didn't have a huge amount of people. There were about 10, 11 people, but I think that we can grow this. I think people will be excited once you actually do one, because it's also a really good way. If you're having a bit of a day where you're like, oh, I just need someone to push me through a workout, well, we do the full body. So you can really, you know, get fired up, get yourself going in the morning. So I'm hoping we'll have 100 people this week. Yeah. Steve, yeah. That's my aim. That's my goal. That's my vision board. But so we've got two classes. We've got 7:30, which is Melbourne time, and 8:30. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock. But the other thing that I'm going to do is figure out a time for Perth people. So I was thinking around about like a 10:30 a.m. Melbourne time. So I'll put all this information down, but I don't want Perth to miss out on the live as well. But I also do record it, and what I'll do is pop it up pretty much immediately after, I think works best. So in the same link, and you can find that, and you can find past ones as well. So we'll progress every week.
Where are you posting the recordings?
I will put them in the Facebook group because so far I've found that the forum doesn't want me to put a video, but you might be able to help me do that. So it didn't want that. So at the moment it'll be Facebook group. But what I eventually want to do is link it to our YouTube. So like eventually I want to make it bigger so we've got a library. So then people can go, oh, hang on, I need to do my workout today. I'm not feeling 100% motivated. I'm just going to chuck something on that Nick has done and get my full body workout done, you know, just for those days. I really want to help people out with that. And the other thing I want to do this week, Steve, is at just a quick 20-minute live call one as well. So a Zoom call. It's always the same link, and that'll be on a Friday. So details to come. And just for people that just want to in some information about core, how to really get the most out of that sort of training. It doesn't have to be long either. Yeah. That's the thing. We know abs can get fatigued very quickly.
They can, especially when you're working them correctly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And absolutely.
Absolutely. Boom, boom. We've still got it.
Yeah. So we'll be posting that information both on our Facebook support group, that link on that Facebook support group. So anyone can join, let that be, you know, doing the challenge or not doing the challenge. And we'll be posting it on the training forum thread. And then we'll also be sending you some information via email and making sure that you get that content. So if you want to join Nick on a Wednesday morning or Friday morning, that'll be Melbourne time. You know, you better find that information, join her. And it's very much like going to a gym, right? You know, it's the same Zoom link. So it's like you're going into this virtual gym class and you might see the same people every morning. So if you're a regular on the Wednesday morning, you know, you might catch up with John and Kate and Mary, and you might have your little chat in the morning before the class starts. And then maybe in between the two classes, you might, you know, see somebody else in the challenge frequently. So it could be a cool way to really utilize the virtual space. And where, you know, the fitness industry is moving towards, where we are moving more into, you know, cyber fitness and virtual fitness. And I wouldn't be too surprised in the near future where, you know, you're not going to have like a hologram personal trainer in your house or some sort of augmented reality, a virtual reality in your house with a trainer. And I can see that not being too far away for any other person that's interested in tech or futurology.
Very, very back to the future.
Very back to the future.
I'm nearly like this standing there going, hey, McFly. But it's really good also just because you really can just, you can be in your jammies. Honestly, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's just a whole lot of fun. And people do chat. Like we do have a bit of a chat in between and a bit of a laugh as well. So it is sort of like your circuit class at the gym, the one that you might have loved going to but you couldn't go because the crash times are weird or whatever. That's what I want it to be, that kind of a vibe.
So, and we'll definitely host all those videos on YouTube, and we'll create a nice, easily accessible library of links to our YouTube where you can follow Coach Nick giving you a live workout. Well, the recorded live workout. It'll be great.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, you kind of nailed it on the head before where, you know, it's really cool to see lots of questions and interests and high energy for the challenge. And we do see that at the start of the challenge, you know, lots of energy. It's the honeymoon period. But then also with that comes lots of questions. And we love questions. I love questions, especially those thought-provoking questions where, you know, we can utilize our experience, our education, our you know, training backgrounds, everything in between to help provide the best response. And, you know, those questions, you know, firstly, there's no such thing as a silly question. Next, you know, anyone can ask a question, let that be someone who's brand new or someone who's had years of training, because it's that saying of you don't know what you don't know, right? So unless ask and try to seek knowledge, you won't progress in your own personal training. So, you know, if you are someone who's been exercising for a long time and you have a simple question, let's say about volume, you're like, oh, I don't know if the amount of exercise is enough for me or if it's too much for me. You know, you could post that question and we would love to have that further discussion and talk about things, you know, such as, you know, really simple concepts or really advanced, complicated concepts. And we will try our best to give you the best information available. Now, as a side comment, you know, we do get lots of repeated questions in the challenge, both on Facebook, on the forums, you know, people emailing us, messaging us on socials, everywhere in between, lots and lots of repeated questions. So this is just my general advice for everybody listening to take some time to digest the information on your plan. I'm going to highly recommend that you watch some of the pre-recorded videos where we explain concepts of the on the plan. Lots of information on the website, on the dashboard, on the resources section of the website, even simple things like the training guide, the nutrition guide, where we break down lots of the basic concepts that we're trying to teach in the challenge. And you may find that you get a quicker answer by searching for your question, let's say on the forum or the Facebook group, or looking at the information on the website, rather than posting the question. You know, sometimes we get questions posted at 11 p.m. at night and I'm sleeping at that time. So if you're up and about and that's maybe part of your lifestyle where you're up that late in the evening, you might find it quicker to search for that answer than to wait for me to wake up and then answer that question for you. So that's just my little comments on, you know, seeking the information first before necessarily asking that question. But remember, there's no such thing as a silly question. You're allowed to ask questions. That's what we want. We want to help and answer those questions.
Definitely.
But sometimes lots of repeated questions, you know, ends up just being a, you know, check out this comment, which was responded, you know, a few hours earlier, that type of thing.
Yeah, and also don't stress about asking a question, because apart from, you know, the information might already be available, but also the other thing is, if you're thinking it, chances are most other people, there are other people that are thinking it.
Yeah.
So it can be anything, because somebody will be thinking it as well and they'll be like, oh, I'm scared to ask, you know, can I have sourdough bread or something, you know, that kind of a thing. I mean, you can look it up, but if you're like, oh, I've looked everywhere and I'm just not sure and it's going to break me today unless I find out, that's when you ask, because you don't want to stress over it either.
No. And just, you know, another comment, like let's say comparing the Facebook group to our website forum, the Facebook group has lots of members. So lots of the answers that you might find are very crowdsourced. And sometimes the comments can be confusing, where one person says one thing, another person says another thing. And then that kind of gets drowned in, you know, maybe an information that an ambassador gives or a mentor gives or a coach gives. So, you know, all these answers are weighted almost equally, because we're humans. We look at all the information available to us. So I'm going to recommend that you be careful about some of the information that you gather on the Facebook group, because sometimes the information might not be, you know, coming from a reputable source or lots of conflicting information. However, on the forum, you know, I guarantee that if you ask a question on the forum, I'll make sure that there is a suitable answer, or give a suitable answer to you. So if you do post on the Facebook group and you feel a little confused, overwhelmed, lots of conflicting information, be sure to check out the forum, because there we can at least moderate some of the answers to make sure that you're getting the as a correct answer as you can, or more of an official answer.
More technical.
But
and
I was going to say, in saying that though, sometimes questions are more suitable to the Facebook group. So for example, you know, what sources are people using on their, you know, meals, right? That could be a suitable question for the Facebook group, because, you know, you post it out to thousands of people being like, hey, you know, what containers do you use for meal prep? Or, you know, what's the best resistance band to buy at the moment? That type of thing. You know, they're a good crowdsourced answer. But if you're having more technical problems, such as, you know, I'm not sure if these calories are right for me, that type of thing, you know, reach out to us. We're here to help. We're here to give you that guidance.
Yes.
Now, you know, the theme of the week this week is about mindset. So week one is all about mindset. And I would say arguably that mindset is the beginning of the challenge, is probably the most important challenge. And it's actually the quickest way to transform your body when we consider our mindset, our internal dialogue, you know, this thought process in our head, how we approach things, right? And, you know, that happens in, you know, a few different stages. So it could be one stage where we're looking at the past, where we're reflecting on our process, such as, you know, why did I choose to have these meals? Why did I choose to exercise this way? Where we're reflecting, using the mindset to reflect. Another aspect is using our mindset in the moment. So things like self-talk, things like affirmation, things about the way that we think and feel, our habits, right? These day-to-day processes. And then another thing is looking at the future, right? So where we're talking about mindset in goal setting, mindset in, you know, planning for the future and predicting events and planning for outcomes, such as, oh, what am I going to do this weekend because I've got my kid's birthday? Or what am I going to do this weekend? It's raining and I'm going to be stuck at home. I'm not going to be able to exercise, these types of things. So we can use mindset in lots of different ways. But I think the first thing I want to talk about when we're talking about mindset is an interesting post that came up on the forum, which came from Edward. And Edward was posted in the mindset thread on the forum. And he made a really interesting post about body image, right? And I think body image is huge in the fitness industry. And if I was to continue my monologue, you know, it really comes down to the genesis of fitness, you know, way back in the late 19th century, where, you know, Sandow, the strength athlete, who was more of a circus performer, was performing strength acts and comparing it to other people, right? So fitness was really born in a way to compare with others, right? First as a strength aspect, then, you know, through the early 20th century, then the era of bodybuilding and the golden age of bodybuilding, and heck, bodybuilding itself, which really progressed the fitness industry, is a sport that compares bodies to each other, right? We're literally comparing the physique of two people together, right? So fitness is hard because we are basically comparing ourselves to other people. And, you know, in very, you know, Taoism philosophy, you know, the way philosophy, where whenever something is good, something else has to be bad. So if I am, you know, if I am quote, quote, you know, fast, something else has to be slow. If I am strong, something else has to be weak because I'm comparing it to something else. So, you know, most of us seek to start the challenge or seek to start a fitness journey because we want to look better or we want to be healthier, right? But to mentally to think about that, we have to be comparing ourselves to something else, and most likely that's another person. So it's hard when we talk about body image because that's what fitness is really founded on. It's the idea of comparing ourselves to another person, which, you know, has a whole lot of complex, deep issues when we even just think of that, right? And I think the first thing is just to accept that in a way where it goes, okay, if I want to be stronger, okay, I'm being stronger relative to someone else. But I think that next step is to take that someone else out of the equation and then be stronger relative to myself. Stronger relative to what I was yesterday, or, you know, being leaner than what I was yesterday, or being, you know, something else to what I was yesterday. So I think for me, my biggest comment on anything related to body image challenges is to straight up limit how much you compare yourself to others and focus on comparing yourself to yourself, right? Comparing what you are now to what you were yesterday, and then, you know, trying to strive to be that better person tomorrow. I digress my monologue. Nick, talk to me a little bit about body image. How did you feel when you were reading that post from Edward?
Well, I 100% agree that the ultimate goal is to get to that point where you are only focusing on what you can see with yourself, what you want to improve upon within yourself without comparing to anyone else. But the nature of it, it's so understandable for people to want to compare, and also for people to feel, I guess, what came out of that post and everything is that sense of, and the word is odd, but it's not odd, it's just the sense of shame. And the thing is, there's no such thing. And if you can just get rid of that, because it is a body. And if even if it's an unhealthy body, even if it's got the markers, the biofeedback of being unhealthy, every single day you can work towards improving that. Now, also, let's not forget, just I digress a bit, but social media, don't forget, every single one of us puts up our highlight reel, okay? So I don't necessarily always put up if I'm feeling crap one day. I won't go, oh, everybody, I don't feel like doing anything today. I don't like anything about me today, because I'm a leader. So as I think sometimes if you look at yourself and you look at the people around you, and you don't think, oh, I'm a big social media person, but if you go, I am an example to these people around me, it might just be one or two people, and then you go, how would someone like that act? And then you have to sort of, it's a good way to pull yourself out of that idea of trying to compare yourself to anyone. Every single person has a starting point, and what makes anyone else's starting point better? It doesn't. It can be the most polarizing thing, fitness, or the most equalizing thing, once you realize that everybody is in the same kind of frame. It doesn't matter what you look like. Everybody, the most ripped bodybuilder will be one of the most insecure people you'll ever meet. Some of them are very hardcore. Some of them when you choose to go into the industry, you know what you're dealing with, because there's a lot of insecurity. It doesn't matter what level you're at. So I don't think that there's any point in comparing.
Yeah. I think it's really hard when you like consider social media, because you're right. Like, people only put up their highlight reel. Heck, like even down to training videos, like You know, you don't post your like working sets. You don't post the quote, quote, non-sexy exercises. You only post like when you're competing like a one rep max or a PB deadlift. Or, you know, doing your biggest deadlift or whatever it is. And even photos, you know, I know people personally who will take hundreds of photos before they post something. Right. And it's filter this and yes, it's tough. And then when you compare yourself to these, you know, beautiful people online, of course you're going to feel crappy. I feel crappy, right? I see some of the challengers who look ripped at the end of their 12-week process. I'm like, geez.
You're like, oh no.
Maybe I've got to up my game and try to like, you know, be that role, that person, right? But then, you know, you kind of step away and go, well, okay, well, what's important to you? Like, you know, for me, being ripped isn't important right now, or being the strongest person isn't important for me right now. It's, you know, it's about that slow progress over time, and that's okay. You know, I love fitness for what fitness is, not for what the outcome of fitness is, which is, you know, maybe you get a six pack, maybe you get big biceps, maybe you get big glutes, whatever it is, maybe you're able to run faster. Okay, sure. But yeah, I think when we look at I think that word shame, where, you know, you might look at yourself and be like, what happened to me? How did I let myself go?
Yeah, I've seen that a bit. I've seen a few people do that. Yeah. And I wish there was, I mean, there is now the hugging little emoji that you can do, the cute little hug.
Yeah.
I want to give everyone a hug. But it's also like, that is so normal. And I appreciate honesty. So if someone feels like that and they put it up and they post it, good, because that's the beginning and you're raw and you're real and you're honest and you're not being fake. No. And that's the best way to start. You go, I'm putting everything out here. I'm putting my cards on the table. Where to from here? Yeah. That is so nice to see, because it's real.
Yeah, it's like a big coming, being like, hey, I'm here. Like, this is me. This is all I am, right? Yeah, and I think that's powerful. It's a powerful step, because, you know, you've made that first step where you are no longer that person that you know were yesterday. You are now like this new person, new you. And I've spoken about this a few times, so, you know, check out the content on this week's topic on mindset, where I talk about the concept of identity change, where, you know, maybe you right now think of yourself as that person. Maybe you think of yourself as that person who sits on the couch, eats ice cream, you know, doesn't exercise, you know, might be overweight, out of shape, you know, whatever, you know, strong language you choose to think of yourself as. But as soon as you make that shift internally, that mindset of that identity, and that takes a second, a moment, one instant where you go, I am no longer that person. I am the fit person that enjoys eating salads. I am the strong person that lifts weights. I am the active person that goes on hikes on the weekends. I am active with my friends. I'm, you know, social, charismatic, whatever word you want to use. As soon as you make that switch, everything changes, you know, down to our behaviors, our thoughts, our processes, everything in between. And then the rest is easy. As soon as you make that switch, it's a moment. It's a second. You can do it right now. You know, I am no longer that person. I am this new, fit, active person who is lean and strong and happy with my body. And it's hard.
You've hit the nail on the head, though, because the thing is, there is no great, like, decider up in fitness heaven that goes, right, well, you are now fit and you're allowed to be that person. It's you. You have to decide. You have to go, today is a day. And that's why, like, even in the prep week when people were contacting me and stuff going, where do I start? I would say, just do your steps now. Start getting your prep done, because that's already you're doing steps, you're doing prep, you're already an athlete. Yeah. You're already in that mindset.
Yeah.
Anything like that. Yeah, it's such a good start, and we all start somewhere. And you and I, even every single day, we restart. Yeah. You know, you're a new person every day.
Yeah. I saw an interesting post on the forum as well. It was on the training thread, and it was a question of how much weight am I meant to use in the gym, right?
Yes.
And this person, I'm sorry, I've forgotten her name. She
might have been Sarah. I can't remember, but
She was saying that she was new to the Get Strong program and felt that she wasn't strong enough to do the Get Strong program, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, even just using that language, I'm not strong enough to get strong. I'm not strong enough to follow the Get Strong program. And I think that's where, you know, we might be, losing that mindset of it, where, you know, you don't have to start strong to do a strength program, right? No. Same as like a fitness program. You don't have to be fit to follow a fitness program. You don't have to be lean to do a lean program or anything like that, because you, that's the ultimate outcome of following that plan, right? It's like, you don't go to school because you're smart. You go to school to learn, right? You don't practice playing the guitar because you already play the guitar. You do it so that you get better at playing the guitar, right? So it's the same thing with fitness, where, you know, if you want to get stronger at the deadlift, you don't need to be, you know, the world's best deadlifter, right? You need to practice and have that beginner mindset going, hey, like, it's okay, I'm getting stronger. I'm going to build up over time. I'm going to improve over time. And that's okay, because we can always find ways to improve. Like me, I'm not the strongest person going around. I don't have the best technique. It's something that I'm always working on and progressing over time. And that doesn't mean that I can't follow a strength program. Like, I follow strength programs because I want to get stronger. I follow fitness programs because I want to get fitter, right? But I think when we look at our mindset, you know, the starting point isn't the ending point. We don't need to have that final outcome to begin the process, right?
No, you just have to add a little bit of weight to the bar. That's why there are increments to everything. And and every single one of us starts where we need to start. Mm-hmm. Like, it's however many reps you can lift with good form, for whatever the program says. That's as simple as that. It doesn't matter if it's 1 kilo all the way through to whatever, because that's why there are weights in the gym, you know, and you can't compare yourself to anyone else because you don't know what they've been doing. You don't know what their actual body weight is either, because it's all relative to what your own body weight is versus what you can push. So there's so many variables that it's like grabbing, honestly, just a pear and saying, I want to be a banana now. You know, what does this banana lift? Because I want to look like this banana. And it's like, it's just not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
You know, stay with what, you know, stay with your own kind of goals. And if you've never set foot in a gym, or if you haven't done it for a while, then use the, doesn't matter which one it is.
This kind of like flows into the next kind of topic, where it's the idea of being a beginner again, or the idea of learning, or this concept of, you know, sometimes taking one or two steps back to take that one or two steps forward. And, you know, maybe an analogy I would give, and you probably relate to this, is, you know, whenever we start a new fitness endeavor, where you are either, you know, a new fitness goal, like a triathlon or a bodybuilding show or a powerlifting event or anything like that, you know, we do have to be a beginner. And sometimes our ego gets caught up with it, being like, oh, you know, I've been in the fitness industry for 10 years. Like, I know it, don't worry, that type of thing. And here's a little example about being a good beginner. So, in between the Melbourne lockdowns, that second Melbourne lockdown came, I started training more at home, and, I was really restricted with the equipment that I have. I only had a barbell and some plates. So I decided to go on a little adventure through Olympic weightlifting. And I used to practice a lot of Olympic weightlifting when I was younger, but I hadn't done it in a while. And I was like, oh, okay, I wonder how much strength I've increased over time, these types of things. And the first day I had the bar, rewind. In the past, I would always be struggling to get a 100 kilo clean, right? 100 kilo clean. I'd always struggle. It was a mental thing. I'd get maybe 95, 97.5. As soon as 100 went on the bar, no dice, right? Then the first day I had this barbell at my house, I managed to power clean, right? Where it's not a full depth clean. It's basically a power clean up into your shoulders. I managed to power clean 115 kilos, right? Which I was like, whoa, geez, like, Steve, you got stronger. I know, right? Wow. Wow. Yeah. Five to 10 years of training makes you stronger. Whoa. Who would have known, right?
You would have been walking around lockdown like this.
I was the coolest kid going around. Anyway, so here I was, you know, feeling on top of the world. I'm like, great, I got 115 kilo power clean. Like, great, I've got this. But what I found over the weeks to come was I started to build up lots of fatigue, lots of minor aches and niggles, and I couldn't break past that 115 kilo mark, where everything I was trying just wasn't working, right? And the similar thing was happening with the snatch, right? I was just muscling into it, and I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing. I just thought I kind of knew it all, right? What I had to do was to be a beginner again, right? Where I had to strip away all the things, take that step back, lighten the load, and relearn the movement. Because what I found I was doing was I was treating the clean like a deadlift. And with most people, they look at the two movements, they're like, oh, it's the same. You know, you pick up something off the ground, right? But within the sport, you know, there are two very different pulls, right? They're very different mechanics. So what I had to do was really strip the weight back, you know, as in I was going from this load of, you know, 100 plus kilos way back to 60 kilos to relearn the movement, right? So this is half the weight. And I was doing, you know, just a couple of single reps. I wasn't necessarily getting a really big workout, but I had to relearn the movements. I had to take lots of steps back to move forward, right? And I had to relearn. And I had to, become a beginner again, where I was watching lots of videos from things like Hook Grip. I was watching lots of old Olympic weightlifting videos and old coaches talk about the weightlifting movements. And then what I did was through that retraining process, relearning process, I was then able to improve, right? And then I really embraced that idea of a novice being like, hey, I don't know anything, right? And then what I was able to do was increase that clean to 130 kilos. So I was able to clean 130 kilos in a more of an official way where it was a depth clean. And you can see that video on my Instagram where, hey, I think that was okay for an amateur in their garage. You know, that's nothing compared to what people could do in a weightlifting stage, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. But I think that process of taking that step back to move forward is important, because we see it in the challenge where, heck, you could see it in prep week on the Facebook group and on the forums, where there's lots of objections where they go, where challengers would say something like, oh, well, I've always eaten this way, or I've always trained this way. Like, why is this program different? And then what my challenge to you is to challenge yourself and go, well, okay, challenge your beliefs and go, is what I was doing in the past working for me? Is that going to be successful moving forward? Am I going to continue to see results? Because maybe you've been doing the same thing every day for the past 10 years and not seeing any change. It's like, okay, well, maybe that process isn't working, right?
Yeah, what's led you to want to discover a new path? And where's the resistance then in committing to a new process or new path?
Can you relate with being a beginner again, or do you have any like
similar, so many times? Yeah. So many. Oh my gosh. Well, the Olympic lifting one, I actually had, I'd been doing triathlons and heavy deadlifts and all that sort of stuff, like powerlifting, squatting, thought that I was pretty good at all that, but then decided I wanted to try Olympic lifting. I was actually with the broomstick only for a snatch, probably for maybe 4 months. And I just surrendered to the process of it, because just that movement, the actual, like connecting all the different moves that you need to actually do it, it took me quite some time. So I would go into my session and I would have 1 hour where I would just use the broomstick to finally eventually graduate to the barbell. And not once, I just didn't think, I wasn't too worried, because I just thought, I'm going to have to surrender to this. Because also, like with the snatch, when you do actually have a whole bunch of weight above your head, you don't want to get squashed. So you want to try and actually get it right before you attempt that, because you're going to get squashed. And getting squashed is not good. So, you know, with some of the weights, it's actually physically, like not just ego, it's physically better to just rewind it and find where you organically need to be. But, yeah, so I can relate to that. I had to stand there with that. My deadlift, a million times I've gone over. Every time I walk up to that bar for the deadlift, even though it's one of my most enjoyable movements, I have to relearn. And then there are times when I look back on videos and I go, you don't know a thing. What are you doing there? Every time I walk into my cycle class, even though I think I've done like maybe 4,000 classes, I make myself a beginner again, because the environment is different every time. Everyone's energy is different. Everyone needs to learn different things. So I think one of the best things you can do is to make yourself a beginner every time. You know, you can add your knowledge back, but you need to approach it without that kind of, I think once you get that kind of, it's not arrogance, but once you kind of think that you know, that's also the time, unfortunately, when you get your injury.
Yeah.
You know, because you just go, I'm good at this, and you don't concentrate. So it's all about coming back to it, being that kind of just centered person, looking at what you do and don't know, and just sort of surrendering to being a beginner. You know, it doesn't matter. We're all a beginner. This is why the challenge resets itself, and we're doing it again. Like, as in, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a fresh start, you know?
yeah
But that's what it is for all of us. Like you and I, we're the same. We're beginners as well as like we've got some background and we approach everything as a beginner. But that Olympic lifting, that if anyone wants to try that, that's the one that will make you straight back into a beginner. Straight doesn't away. Matter what you've yeah. done. Oh,
yeah. I think.
Oh yeah.
You're completely right with the snatch or even just like the jerking motion. Like there's something so thrilling and exciting and deeply, deeply scary about lifting a load above your head and catching it, right? Where, you know, the most I was able to snatch was 95 kilos, right? And it never broke the 100 kilos. But, you know, that's basically my body weight. So one movement, getting that above your head, scary, right? Most of the, and when I actually did it and watching the video back, it's like, I made that look easy, right? Because I committed to it, right? Every time I made it look hard, I was scared, right? Where, you know, you go to catch it or receive the bar is probably a better word and probably more coaches would respect that word better. When you go to receive the bar, you know, you need to fully commit to it. You can't like, you can't half-ass it where, you know, you're like, I'm going to get it. No, you're not. You're not going
to
catch
it. It's a marriage. It has to be a marriage with Olympic lifting. You have to commit to depths. Yep. There's all sorts of things that you must commit to within the movement. Yep. You can't fake it. So,
and that's the same as you know, maybe less complicated movements. Like let's say a deadlift or a bench press, right? You've got to commit to it. Like you can't approach a deadlift bar with a half-ass mindset where you're like, I'm going to just see how it goes. No. You've got to hustle. You've got to approach it you've got to visualize the thing move, right? You've got to see the thing move.
See it already done. You have to see it already done in your head. Yep. Yeah, and that's probably a good actual analogy for anything that you do with your fitness. As soon as you walk into the gym, I think it's a good idea to visualize yourself completing that sequence. And otherwise, if you let yourself get away with it, you might say to yourself, I'm just going to go in there and I won't really do it. And that might be some people's technique, but I think it's really good to actually visualize yourself doing it and see where you're going to go in the gym for the whole time.
Yep.
And what you're going to do, because that's going to help you achieve it.
Yeah. Now, another little story or analogy that has a little bit of meaning, a little bit of moral of the story behind it was back to my Olympic weightlifting. With the snatch, I would always struggle with the position overhead. And I was certain, 100% certain that the problem was the width of my hands on the bar. So every time I trained, I would try a different hand width, right? Now, with my obsession with the hand width, I was focusing so much on like the smaller details of where to put the hands. It took me away from actually just doing the motion of practicing the snatch motion. Now, part of it was important because I needed to figure out where my hand width was. But, you know, I was talking like, okay, do I put my, middle finger on the knuckles of the bar or do I put my index finger or, you know, the very small details of the process. But at the end of the day, that was distracting me from like the bigger picture of, okay, how many sets are you doing today? How many reps are you doing today? What load are you doing today? Rather than, you know, I was just so focused on where my hand was. And then, you know, I was playing around like, I need to figure out what the hook grip is. Cause if I don't hook grip, I'm not going to be able to snatch. That's my biggest problem. But my problem was you're distracting yourself from getting the bar overhead. You're procrastinating from getting that bar overhead. You're scared of getting the bar overhead. So you're making up this thing where it's like, the most important aspect is where you place your hands. Now, hopefully people listening can start to see the moral of the story that I'm trying to say here, where sometimes we get so caught up on the minute details. We start focusing very much on small picture items or very small rocks where we kind of put the cart before the horse, where we almost forget about all the other things where we go, hey, you know, yes, we do need to consider like the foods on our program, but at the end of the day, you still need to eat food, right? We do need to consider like maybe some of the smaller exercises that we're doing or, you know, what equipment we bring to the gym, these type of things. But at the end of the day, we still need to exercise. So, you know, Nick, can you relate to that a little bit where sometimes you get caught up with all the smaller details, but then you kind of forget the big picture thing, being like, hey, I need to sleep. Hey, I need to drink water. Hey, I need to, you know, do these things, right?
100%, but like say, of course, but even with my newest venture, which is the fitness, the bodybuilding side of it, the posing for me, I can really absolutely get caught up going, I haven't put my feet right here. So, and I haven't done this and I haven't done that. So I'm just not good at it and I won't do it. And mm-hmm. That was me for like a year. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, I just can't even do it. I'm not even good at it. No, forget about it. And that's somebody like I'm telling people constantly to just get on with it and do it and just start at the start. Mm-hmm. So it's about fear. And it's also about, like, it's not ego in the sense of being up yourself. It's ego as in sort of that self-preservation. Mm-hmm. It kicks in. So I've had lots of conversations with various coaches over the years about where your ego can actually stop you. So it's not like, yeah, forget about it being like an ego of a nasty, yucky thing. It's more your brain trying to tell you that you are better than what you are, because it's sort of self-preservation or something mm-hmm. along those lines. And it says to you, I'm not going to do it at all. It's really, really weird. You go, I'm not going to do it at all because I'm no good at it. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, if you can somehow find that little bit of a connection where you go, okay, so be a beginner. Mm-hmm. And okay, so if you fail, or whatever failure is, what does it matter? I think Craig Harper even put up, I think there was some sort of a quote maybe on Instagram that just said, so if you fail, life goes on. Mm-hmm. And that's such a good way to look at it. It's like, so what? The sun rises. So you haven't nailed whatever it is you're going to do. How do you do it? You have to practice. So this time around, say with my posing, I'm onto it. I keep practicing. I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to do the wrong movement. I know it takes me longer. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I actually focus on, force myself to, because I know that I'm fundamentally not the best at it, but then that's not good dialogue to tell myself, because I'm now not saying that anymore. It's something that I'm working on. Mm. So even me, a coach still has that.
So, like what you're saying is, even though you can't, let's say, get the foot placing correct, that's not going to stop you from practicing posing, right?
Well, that's right. And also the thing is that I might not think it's correct, and then I'll watch it back and it's like, that was all in your head. You don't look so bad. Mm. And even my feedback was, you posed well. And in my head, I'm like, no, I didn't. Mm. So there are mental blockages sometimes that stop us from doing certain things. And it may usually comes back to, this is like epic, but it usually comes back to childhood and whatever dialogue you told yourself when you were younger. So mine was always, I'm uncoordinated. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how I ended up doing this job where everything's very technical and it relies on numbers. It relies on extreme, coherence with it. With things. Mm. So someone that's so unco, it's not possible to do this. But that's my own story. And I was apparently not a good runner at school and all sorts of stuff like that. But it's all this dialogue. And now I'm actually completely bucking that by going against whatever it was that the dialogue that I told myself when I was younger and rewriting my story. And that is so powerful. And you can do that any day. Like I can, even telling you this now, I'm like, I'm a great poser, Steve. I'm great. So, even just sometimes saying it out loud to someone, sometimes talking about it makes you realize what's going on in your little head and get out of your head sometimes.
Yeah. I like that. That's deep. That's so deep.
I know. It's very deep. But I love sharing. I think it's very important. I think it's also very important to be vulnerable. Like pick people in your circle and go, the gym scares me a bit. So get it out there, say it, and then it goes away a little bit, failure is okay, whatever that might be for you. It's okay because there's a new day. Yeah. Every day is new.
I love that.
Yeah.
Look, let's wrap it up on that note. Nick, it's been great. So guys, it is week one this week. The challenge has just started. And I think my probably biggest tip before you run off is that it's a 12-week process. And let's say you completely mess up week one, or you mess up week two or week three, that still means that there's 9 more weeks to go, right? So take every day as it comes, take every week as it comes. And if you failed one day or failed 1 week, that's okay. Just keep moving forward, because
just get straight back on it.
You're going to get better as you go.
Don't mourn it. Yeah, just get straight back on it. So if you think that you've stuffed up even one meal or whatever, make the next one okay. Don't make the whole day a write-off. Just get straight back on it and don't look back.
Good advice. Guys, we'll catch you next time in next week's weekly podcast.
See you guys. Thank you.